Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name's Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. Man, it was great to get back together on Sunday. Not only was it Mother's Day, we celebrated a fully funded Bible translation project that we were talking about during the well-known series. And not only are we going to be able to help with the Gospel of Luke, but now because of the way you gave, we're going to be able to help with a full translation of the New Testament by the end of 2028 to the Avars and the Lock in those North Caucasus mountains. Super excited about that. But we also started a brand new series in the Song of Songs, or maybe your Bible calls it the Song of Solomon. The big idea for this series is that human love is an imperfect reflection of God's greater love. Now, I said that I'm guessing most of us have never gone through a series on the Song of Solomon, right? It's just rarely taught. It's a collection of love songs between Solomon and a Shulamite woman that go back and forth. And that's about 92% of the book. And the other 8% is this group of kind of background singers that kind of chime in every now and then. And we talked about the different ways that the book is interpreted. We're going to talk about it more from the perspective of a literal interpretation that this was, really Solomon. This was really a woman. And we're going to trace their lives through attraction, dating, engagement, marriage, honeymoon, conflict in marriage. And then this idea of having this beautiful, long-lasting marriage that goes the distance. And we just talked about how, one of the reasons that it's not talked about very much is just because of man, the book is just wonderfully graphic. I mean, it talks about God's gift to us in marriage of sexuality, for example. And, some probably have referred to it as profane in church history. And I think we think it's profound. The key idea in chapter one was that knowing the one, right? Knowing God, knowing the one prepares you to find your one. I think we all look at Solomon's life and think, man, he was married to 700 women. Like, is he really the person we want to hear from? And I just think it's important, to remember, number one, culturally, what he did was perfectly fine. Ancient kings would marry women from various tribes, countries, and families to strengthen political alliances. However, this was a sin for biblical kings. So it just reminds us that having wisdom and applying wisdom, they're altogether different. We have more resources today than ever in Christian history, but we don't always behave like it. So, in some ways, we're educated far beyond our obedience. But what we see in Solomon and this Shunammite woman is that biblical attraction values character more than chemistry. She says to him in one of her songs, "Your name is oil poured out." Your translation may say pure oil, and that was used in the temple. I think that's a reference to how she views Solomon's relationship with God. So like in verse 4, she says, "Draw me after you. Let us run." In other words, let's spend time together getting to know each other. And this is where the first time the background singers kind of chime in. It's kind of her posse of ladies. And they say, "Listen, we exult and rejoice in you. We will extol your love." Speaking of Solomon's love, more than wine, rightly do they. They being the virgins that she referred to in the previous verse. So this is twice in two verses that they say, "Hey, man, all the girls love this guy." And I just think it's important to come back to this idea that, listen, we should all seek someone of humility, integrity, and character. That character is the basis of attraction. His name, they say, is like pure oil. The thing that he's known for is his godliness. So the way that we said it is that only followers of the one God, right? Only followers make great leaders. That's who you're looking for. She says of herself in the next few verses towards the end of the song, like she says, "Don't look on me for my skin is dark." And the word the old King James uses is swarthy. And the idea is that her brothers forced her to walk outside or to work outside. And she sacrificed for her family. She was a hard-working lady, even though she wouldn't have chosen it. Other women, right, they wanted to hide their skin from the sun. It was kind of their chief cosmetic. But this lady, she worked outside and worked hard. And I think it's okay to say that's something that we are looking for. It's a reflection of the way that that God has created us to work as we're thinking about who we're looking for. Then the last verse we looked at is verse 7. She says, tell me where you pasture your flock and make it lie down at noon. For why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? I just thought this was pretty incredible. She says to him, hey, if you're interested in getting together around noon where there's a lot of light and a lot of people around, I'm your girl. But if you want someone who veils herself, and that was an obvious reference to the prostitutes in their culture, she says, look, if you're looking to, you know, lay down under a blanket while we watch Yellowstone at midnight before we're married, I'm not your girl. I'm not. In other words, she's not willing to use sexuality to get a man. I quoted Tom Nelson on Sunday. He said the reason for that is because it just might work. And we're the daughters of the king, and as well the sons of the king, right, as well. But you're just worth more value for that. So we really focused on this idea that you need to worship the one while you walk with your one. We worship the one while you walk with your one. You know, we've had people who have reached out since the well-known series where we talked about taking the step of getting married, if you're living together, getting the covenant on the right side of your relationship. And I talked with a couple this week, beautiful young couple, and they're getting married next Tuesday in response to the series. And it just made me think, when we think about attraction and we think about chemistry, right, that you and I, whether you're dating, engaged, or married, we can worship the one while we walk with our one, or while we wait for our one. We can obey the Father by the Spirit because of the Son, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. Father, as we are walking currently, or maybe we're waiting, maybe God, some are not interested in a relationship at all. They're just focused on you. Lord, we want to say today that our attention is given towards worshiping you and you helping us become the right kind of person, the right type of person. Save us, God, for being focused on allowing someone else to determine our happiness. Lord, we just want to walk with you, focus on you, be attentive to you today. It's the healthiest thing for our souls. So we're saying today that we trust you. In your name we pray. Now you take the opportunity to pray.